are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
And of course, our television audience right here from Tshwane, Pretoria, the capital of South Africa. God bless you right there in America, all over Europe, throughout Africa. We know today's going to be a special day for you because there's no distance in the realm of the spirit. So yeah, from Pretoria, we welcome each and every one of you. God bless you as you watch this program today in Jesus' name. Let's give the television audience a big, big shout. Hallelujah. I want to talk about an urgent word for our church, and I believe for many people in this place. So the mood is changing a little bit, and that's okay, because God wants to touch you. God wants to get you with His love, and God wants to change you. My message this morning as I begin, a heart after God. A heart after God. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, the Bible says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. He shall be like a shrub in the desert. He shall not see when good comes. He shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." Say, "I'm blessed."
I'm blessed.
Come on, you have to talk to me this morning. Say, "I'm blessed."
I'm blessed.
"Because I trust in God, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by waters, which spreads out its roots by river, and he will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing." I want to talk about your heart this morning and the condition of your heart. Because we do understand this is a heart relationship and not a head relationship. If Jesus does not have your heart, what does he have? And if he has your heart, what does it look like? Jeremiah talks about two people, yeah. The man whose heart is focused on God and the man whose heart departs from God. The man whose heart is focused on God and the things of God, and the man whose heart is not focused on the things of God. Well, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, that we are to guard our hearts more than anything, for out of it flow the issues of life. Your future, your boundaries, your relationships, everything flows out of the condition of your heart. Your relationship with God flows out of the condition of your heart. And I want to position you for the second part of this year. And this is a word while I was preaching at the conference in New Zealand that began to burn in my heart. That we cannot play the superficial life with God. We cannot have this commercial Christianity. We cannot serve God when it suits us, only when it's convenient for us. Because when our hearts belong to God, our lives will belong to God. I mean, if God has your heart, then God will have your treasure. If God has your heart, then God will have your pocket. If God has your heart, God will have absolutely everything in your life. And Jeremiah distinguishes between people, two people here. A man that is blessed and a man that is cursed. A man that is predestined for success and a man that is predestined for failure. They both sit in church. What is the difference? The one's heart departs from God. And that means that that heart at some stage was with God, but that heart has left God. That's why it continues and he says in verse 9, "The heart of man is deceitful above all else and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" We don't even know our own hearts. But God's word will reveal our hearts to us. You know, I want to stand before God one day and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So we are going to study some lives and learn from some examples in the Bible of those who finished strong, but those who did not also. Because a wise man not only learns from his own mistakes, he learns from the mistakes of other people. And if God recorded people in this Bible, it's because God meant for us to learn lessons. So Jeremiah is very clear. He says, "The heart that trusts God shall be like a tree planted by waters." Hallelujah. "His leaf will be green. He will not fear when heat comes in the difficult times. He will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. But the heart that departs from God, that is the heart that makes flesh his strength. That is the heart that relies on self more than on God. Says shall be like a shrub in the wilderness. It means that the life's going to dry up. You may make money, but there will be areas in your life that will dry up. I saw a news report yesterday as I was watching news, just to stay in touch with what's happening in South Africa. And underneath there was a scroll that said, top cardiologist in South Africa, 51 years old, committed suicide because of depression. At the top of his game, top cardiologist, top of his profession, yet hopeless. I'm not judging him. Well, sometimes people think, if I have money, if I have this, if I have that, I'll be okay. But really the issue is, where's your heart at? It's like we want to run into church and say, God, I love you more than anything. And if God says, give me this, we say, no, God, you know, I'm not ready for this. But God so loved us that he gave his son. And Jesus so loved us that he gave his life. So we love God with the same love. Come on. We love God with the same sacrifice. If you take sacrifice out of your Christian journey, you begin to lose something in your relationship with God. This is not a convenience store. This is not a shopping mall. This is a place where we meet with a living God, heart to heart. Somebody say amen and give the Lord a worship praise in this place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The heart that departs from God shall not see when good comes. And he will inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. So the Bible is full of people who finish strong. But sadly also, people who serve God and the purpose of God, and then somewhere something went wrong and their hearts departed from God. I read a book many years ago, God's Generals, and sad to say that not one of those people who were in the book finished well. Even the man who wrote the book for us to learn lessons from those who changed our world never finished strong. And it's all when the heart departs from that first relationship, when something else becomes more important, your success, your prominence. It's like somebody said, most people can handle success, but most people can handle failure, few people can handle success. So people say success changes people. I think success doesn't change people. I think success brings to the surface what is in people. Because it's when people have power, when people have money, then what is hidden comes to the surface. There's no way money can change you. Money brings to the surface who you really are. Because now suddenly you have money to do things you could never do. Now suddenly your money gets you to engage in things that take you away from God. That's why I think many people pray, and I'll show you this from Haggai, and their prayers are not heard, because God knows if that release comes, their heart will depart from God. God doesn't mind you being blessed, but he really does mind the blessing changing you. God's not against success. I mean, the pavement in heaven is gold. The pearl you enter through is a pearl. Or the gate you enter in is a pearl. But what we make the main thing in God's mind is the least. That's why he says, if you're not faithful in the least, which is money, mammon, who will give you the true riches? Because the mammon, the money shows, is the indicator of your heart more than anything else. Money, nothing else, is the indication of where the heart is at. So God so loved it, gave. When we love God back, 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says we love God because he first loved us. What does that love look like? Is it just hallelujah on a Sunday? Is it just raising my hands? Is it coming to church when it suits me? What does that love look like? So God said, I love you. And then he stretched out his arms and he died. I say to God, I love you. What does that mean? What does it look like? Why am I even here? So when we talk about salvation, it is undeserved favor. It's grace. We have nothing to do with it. But when we answer the call of God, a journey begins. A journey, and I'm going to talk about tonight, if you be in church, okay, more than once, okay. You dated a girl, you never just dated her once. You dated her in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. You SMS'd her all the time, okay. I think some of us need to check our love for God. We need to check our commitment to God and to the things of God. We need to get out of the convenience store, back into the place of sacrifice, and back into the place of seeking God more than anything else. Can I have an amen in this place? Come on. Just look straight faced and nobody knows I'm talking to you. So one of the characters in the Bible, the first king of Israel, God comes to Samuel the prophet, and God says, I'm sorry that I raised Saul up to be my king. And I want us to read you and learn some lessons from the passage of scripture, because the Bible teaches us certain things. Okay, it's a man in success. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 10, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I've set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. It grieved Samuel all night, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up monuments for himself. Now, the king was called to expand God's kingdom, and Saul, as God blesses him, he gets messed up in his mind, and he no longer expands the kingdom of Israel. He begins to build monuments for himself. Now it's no longer about God, now it's about him. It's not about the success of God's kingdom, it's about his personal success. And he's gone around, passed by and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord, for I have performed the commandment of the Lord. So, I mean, the brother hasn't been tithing for 3 months or 6 months. The brother, is whatever. But, he knows to say the right thing, like charismatic. Shabba, shabba, haba, haba, shandai, hundai, how are you? Now I'm blessed. But, I mean, why haven't you brought your tithe to church for 6 months? I mean, It's like, okay, I'm serving God empty-handed. Where do you even find that in Scripture? I have performed the commandment of God. And Samuel says, whoa, 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 whoa. This is not a talk relationship. This is a do relationship. God didn't say, I love you and do nothing. God said, I love you and gave his son. Jesus said, I love you and died for you. Now we say, God, I love you and I think it will cost us nothing. Serving Jesus will cost you your life. It will cost you your all. As well, some people are dry and weary and tired in many areas of their lives because they've turned this relationship, which is a relationship of purpose, into convenience. I'll serve God when I want to. How's that going to work in your marriage? I mean, when God delivered Israel, which is a type of the church, from Egypt, God said, I am bringing you out of Egypt that you may worship me in the wilderness. There's one reason I'm bringing you out. Not for the houses, not for the lands, not for the riches. I'm bringing you out for relationship that you may worship me. There's the deal. You were created by me and you were created for me, for my pleasure, not your pleasure. A heart after God. So Saul's heart departs from God. God sends him on a mission, and he gets confused. Rather than fulfilling the assignment or the mission, he builds the business, and he somehow loses perspective of why he's in business. Suddenly, he's in business for another business deal. He's in business for another this, another that, and he actually forgets that he's in business for one purpose: to generate profit for the kingdom of God. And when the prophet comes to him, he does what everybody else does. And Samuel says, but what is then the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen, which I hear? And Saul said, they. Same thing Adam did. It's the woman, God. You know, I wouldn't be here. It's my accountant who told me I can't tithe out of my business. It's my wife. It's my friend. He read another book and he said tithing is not your will for me. So are you telling me you're going to stand before Jesus one day with your accountant and you're going to say, God, I stopped tithing because my accountant told me not to tithe? So Saul does exactly the same. He says to people, hey, I'm here, Samuel. I know you don't know about the monuments I'm building over there, but I'm here to worship. And Samuel said, but what's all this? Where have you been? What's up, Brother Jack? What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? Your zeal is not there. Your fire is not there. Everything is difficult. It's like people have to drag you to church suddenly. What's up? Oh, I was going to bring my tithe, but then my wife went shopping. I really wanted that more expensive car, and I'm paying that car with part of my tithe. What's up, man? I'd rather drive an ox wagon and honor God. I said I'd rather drive an ox wagon and honor God. I'm rather driving a bicycle and honor God. I'd rather have the same clothes for €5 and honor God. I'd rather wash my clothes until they shine and people think it's a mohair suit, but I'd rather honor God than try and impress God with a heart that is slowly departing. Because a heart that departs, eventually, when is it going to end? So there are signs when coming to church becomes all difficult, when the traffic becomes an issue, when nothing suits you, the music, everything is a problem. Everything is a problem. But it wasn't that way when you got saved. It wasn't that way when you were down and out and you were almost broke, busted and disgusted, and you said, God, if you bless me, if you help me, if you give me a business, I will build your house, I will do this, and God has blessed you, and somewhere you have forgotten, and now it's about building your monuments. When Jesus called the disciples, it was with purpose. When God anointed Saul, it was with purpose. When God calls you to business, it's with purpose. When God calls us to build this church, it's with purpose. Not to sit and gloat, but we have a mission. So Samuel says to Saul, but you were sent on a mission. He says, be quiet. Well, I'm leaving the church. Nobody talks to me like that. Well, Saul had nowhere to go. Because now God says to, he says, well, I've done this and, you know, I'll serve God the way I interpret the Bible. It's like, and then Samuel says, be quiet. Let me tell you what God says. And God still speaks. It's the word. I mean, we want the blessing, but we don't want to give back to God. We want God to move heaven and earth, but when there's a cloud in the sky, we don't want to get out of bed. I know I'm preaching to the converted. I'm just saying, okay? I'm just saying. It's like Jesus, just do everything and I'm going to do nothing. I'm just saying. Lord, promote me, but you will not promote his kingdom. Thank you for your enthusiasm. So Samuel said to him, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission. So God says, when I called you with a mission. I saved you for a mission. I gave you that business with a mission. I promoted you in the sport arena with a mission. I've seen how many sport people serve God, and when they reach a certain level, their hearts depart from God. You bump into them 3 years later on and you see they're like a shrub. They have no spirituality, not even an ounce of spirituality left in them. Because they live off the worship and adoration of people. Sad thing, because the day will come when you cannot play rugby any longer. Then what are you going to do? I watched something recently, and most of those musicians that are at the top of their game internationally all say, we started in a church choir, but now God's not even in the equation. God doesn't even fit in anywhere. Oh, they've got fame and they've got acclaim, and people throw money at them and they sign big contracts. But many of our top artists in South Africa, oh, you can have your 500 little fans that applaud you every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But the day will come when you will get to heaven, and then you better have heaven waiting for you to applaud you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on. I tell every business, and I've told you this how many times, my brother, a billionaire, before he passed away, he told me again and again, there are so many things I still want to do for God. And I would say to him, Vim, do them for God. Why do we forget so quickly that we are on a mission, that God saved us and called us with a holy calling, that our lives are not our own, we are bought with a price, we are here to worship God, we are here to make Jesus more famous, we are here to use everything God has given us to make this world a better place. Somebody shout amen and give the Lord a praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, heart departs little by little. I've seen it how many times. And I know we only have so many seats, but people sit in the first row, second row, then middle row, then the back row, then they out. Then they start skipping services. Every second service, what happened? Their heart's departing. Person that tithes every month, then he skips a tithe, and then skips two tithes. Then what's his heart is departing. It doesn't just happen instantly. It's little by little. The guy loved the church, couldn't get enough of the church. Suddenly he gets irritated by the same worship, by the same preacher that preaches exactly the same. Suddenly it's an issue. What's happening? Nothing has changed. Go watch the videos of 10 years ago. It's exactly the same. Oh, Oh, the church is not the same. No, it's the same. You're not the same. You're becoming uppity up. But when you had no job, when you were small in your own eyes, it was very easy to say, oh, Jesus, just bless me. I'll do anything. Oh, God, get me out of this ditch. I will serve you. Oh, God, heal my marriage. Heal my physical body. Oh, God, do this. God, do that. And now God's done all those things. And what are you doing? You're sitting, sucking your thumb with an indifferent attitude suddenly. What's up, man? What's up? I've prayed for how many people that are broke, that at the court cases, things are about to explode in their lives. And God is merciful because that's who He is. He cannot deny Himself. Even if we're unfaithful, He remains faithful. And you would think if you're back on your feet, you are going to serve God flat out. But I have found very few. Sad. Sad. That a heart changes so easy. And I'll tell you when it changes, when the pursuit changes, when we pursue something else other than God and the assignment, the mission that God called us to. My business exists to generate profit to advance God's kingdom. If that's not your assignment as a businessman, your heart's going to go for a walk. Because you're going to be one of those guys that will always say, my money's tied up. My money's tied up. I'm tied up. Things are tied up. It's tied up. It's always tied up, tied up, tied up. And then when you get to heaven one day, what you're going to say? Sorry, God, you know, I did serve you. And God say, but 1992, 97, 2000, I've blessed you. I've increased you. I've enlarged you. I asked one thing from you. I only ask one thing from you, that when I bless you, worship me. That's all I want. God says, I will give you houses you don't build. I will give you opportunities. I will bless you. I will open a heaven over you. I will take you places you cannot take yourself. God says, I ask one thing. I ask one thing. Worship me. I say, I ask one thing. Let your heart stay in the right place. You worship me. When you become a minister, you worship me. When you become a CEO, you worship me. When you become a sports captain, you worship me. When suddenly doors open, you worship me. That's all I want from you. Don't let your heart depart from me, because the man whose heart departs, although he has success the way of the world, he will become like a shrub in the wilderness. I believe that this is a warning, because Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, whomever I love, I rebuke. When he talks about the church that's neither hot nor cold, and he says, I counsel you to buy fire, get your heart. And if your heart is in the right place, that's good. I'm not saying anything. But you know, as a church, we want a place where the presence of God will explode, and it's not going to happen if we just drag ourselves in here casually, drag ourselves out casually. We come when we want to come. We give when we feel like giving, etc., etc. That's not a place that's going to attract the presence of God. Listen to me very carefully. God is attracted to a place where people are full on in their worship. And that's not just their singing. I know this is too heavy for some of you, like the rich young ruler. When Jesus spoke to him about commitment, he left. Couldn't handle straight talk. Because he just wanted to follow Jesus for his convenience. And then Jesus said, whoa, you want to follow me? I'm going to connect you to a purpose bigger than you. And that's the purpose that I'm going to die for, the salvation of humanity. I'm not just saving you to stimulate your ego and to fill your bank balance. I'm saving you to give you a purpose, which is the redemption of this world. Somebody shout amen and give the Lord a praise for that. Oh, come on. You can give Him a better praise than that in Jesus' name. So he says, the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are all consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Saul in verse 20 says, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on a mission which the Lord sent me, and I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, there it is again, doesn't take responsibility. You know, God is so merciful. If God talks to us, all we have to say, Father, I'm sorry. He doesn't talk to us so we feel guilty and bad. He talks to us because He wants to lead us into the land of abundance and the land of plenty, and He wants to give you your breakthrough. But God says, I don't look on the outward appearance, I look on your heart. If your heart departs, you are bringing a desert experience upon your own life. But if our heart is upon God, even when the heat comes, God says, I will sustain you, I will nourish you, I will take care of you, your leaf will be green, you will bear fruit, there will be streams wherever you are. Can you handle that this morning? Say amen. Oh, come. Come on in Jesus' name. So Saul is God's first choice. But when Samuel comes to anoint him, he's so humble, he hides away saying, I'm not good enough. But the stronger he became, the more his heart departs from God. Rather than performing God's will, he begins to build monuments for himself. David, on the other hand, remains a shepherd boy in his own eyes. David serves the will of God. David is generous towards God's kingdom. He builds the house of God. Acts chapter 13, verse 22, the Bible says, and when he had removed Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. Why is he a man after God's own heart? Because he is committed to do all God's will, not partial. Another example in the Bible, King Uzziah, one of the greatest kings Israel ever had, he becomes king when he's 16 years old. 2 Chronicles 26, the Bible says, verse 3, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. So he reigns, he serves God for 52 years. 60 plus 52, 68 years old. So you would think a man of 68 years old would finish strong. Not this man. I mean, you read about him. He built this, he built that. His people created devices, witty inventions. The company is flourishing. The business is booming. The ministry is exploding. Everything is a for a way. But then at the age of 68, the Bible says in verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction. What did he do? I want to know. He stepped out of his office into the priest's office. Like many successful business people in our world today, especially in Johannesburg, it's a disease where people, as they become successful and they have money, they refuse to belong to churches because their money can hire musicians and their money can bribe pastors to play at their tune. Or rather than support the church, they start their own things with their own names and they transgress into the office reserved for the fivefold ministry. Very clear in the Bible. Why does God require you, even though you are the success of all successes, the businessman of all businessmen, to stay in a local church so that you can stay small in your own eyes and so that you can stay submitted to authority, which is spiritual? You may be the boss of all bosses out there in the world, but you need a church where a man of God, a woman of God can sit you down and say, be quiet. Let me tell you what the Lord has said in Jesus' name. I mean, today people want to sit the pastor down and tell the pastor. It's not the Bible order. Or the pastor tries to get a hold of the brother, but he's too busy. What is that? Disrespect. I'm now successful enough. I also hear God. But I mean, you sat in church your whole life, and now that you're becoming big, suddenly you don't need a church. Your music is exploding, so suddenly you're like, cool, Pastor Man, cool. I'll see you when I see you. Cool, Pastor. Better be sure that the place you're going is cool. It's like, it's a good member. The member serves the Lord, and the bigger the business becomes, the more people that say, sir, he's the now director. Suddenly it's like, I don't listen to a pastor anymore. Nobody tells me. I bring my own sacrifice. I'm going to start my own association, and I'm going to start my own this, and I'm going to do this and this, and me, I, because I want to be the king everywhere. I want to be king in my business, king in the church. I want to be the boss everywhere. I also hear God. I can also prophesy. It doesn't make you a prophet. Oh, clap your hands, because you know what I'm saying is the truth. A lot of arrogance that goes along with people that get successful and they forget. I meet people everywhere. Then they say, oh, I used to be in a church as well, praise God, but now, you know, I'm too busy now. Suddenly everything changes. The way they talk is suddenly, oh, they're afraid of God, you know. It's like, you know, oh, Pastor, you know, I'm too busy. I just, you know, support this church and that church. And, you know, I go where I feel like, you know, when I feel like, and you know, and it's like, okay, man, you're just a piece of dust. Nothing different with your fancy accent. You're still just a piece of dust that God has graced and that God lives in. Your car better not change you. Now you drive different because you... I don't like this church because... David was a man after God's heart because he was the king of all kings in Israel. And when the presence of God came, he wasn't this dignified dude. He just loved God. He loved the raw presence of God. He was attracted to God, to the purpose of God. He didn't care what people say, what people think. He stayed small in his own eyes. Oh, come on, all the days of his life. He never became a big deal to himself. He remembered where he came from. He was a shepherd boy. He knew he was what he was by the grace of God. He knew that everything is by the grace of God. So it was never difficult for him to give God glory, to walk into a church and find a seat wherever he can find a seat and just worship God louder than anybody else. He did not become one of those silent, dignified worshipers. His wife did, but he did not. I would think if God brought you from nothing to somewhere, that you would be the loudest praiser, you would be the biggest giver in the church, you would be the most generous person in the church because you remember where you came from. A heart that departs. King Uzziah, 68 years old, his heart departs from God. And he transgresses in the priest's office, and Azariah, the chief high priest, and 50 or 80 other valiant priests stand against him. He said, this is not for you. God's blessed you. God's graced you. God's blessed you. This is not for you. This is our territory. This is the office for the priest. This is for Aaron and the priesthood. This is not for you. And the Bible says he became furious, and leprosy broke out on his forehead. Sign of arrogance. When you tell people truth, they become angry, they become mad. Eternity is one heartbeat away, one stroke away, one heart attack away. I'm not speaking death over anybody. The higher God takes us, the more we should worship Him. That's why Sunday cannot be optional for a Christian. Because a Sunday makes you remember. It makes you remember. You stop all the activities of your week, and on a Sunday, you come into the house of God. Like David, who said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. On a Sunday, it's not a negotiation. Like Joshua asked for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. You come to church with your fancy Bentley. You come to church with your Ferrari. You come to church with whatever. You get yourself in the presence of God. And if you have no vehicle, you walk on your 2 feet. You walk to the house of God because you come to say thank you on a Sunday. You come to worship God on a Sunday. Because God has your heart. He doesn't have part of your heart. Come Sunday, you put on your best clothes and you go to the house of God and you worship God with other believers who remember where they have come from, who remember that God alone is worthy of all the glory and the praise and the adoration. I need somebody to give the Lord a worship praise in this place in Jesus' name. One of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is when Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 10 verse, or 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10, he says, one of the apostles that traveled with him, he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. It's not how we start, it's how we finish. And everywhere in the Bible, when the presence of God lives from a person, it's always, from a place, it's always the same place. People stop serving God with their treasure. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. When we can no longer give God our money, our honor has departed. Listen to me very, very carefully. When people no longer serve God with their finances representing their lives, something begins to lift from that congregation. Where giving becomes optional, tithing becomes optional. In Malachi chapter 3,
God says, return to me and I will return to you. Verse 7. People say, how shall we return? God says, you've robbed me. They say, what? He said, tithes and offerings. Worship me. He says, worship me with your offering. Worship me, not just with your lips. Worship me with what I gave you. Book of Haggai. Dearth came upon the nation. And again, the prophet comes and rebukes them. And he says, how is it that the kingdom of God lies in ruin and you're all building your houses? He says, you've looked for much and it's come to little. You've sown and you've received nothing. God says, I've blown it away because your heart has departed. It's not difficult for God to bless his people. It's not difficult for God to move angels, to move heaven and hell for his people. It's not difficult. Nothing is difficult for God. God asks one thing. Worship me with the love that I placed in your heart. Because when I saved you, I put my love in your heart. Romans 5 verse 5. Love me back the way I love you. I loved you fully. I loved you completely. I loved you unconditionally. I loved you sacrificially. Love me the way I love you. If Jesus does not have your heart, what does he have? And if he does have your heart, what does it look like? I want to be like David. I want to be a man that when I get to heaven, God says, Adbosov served his God in his generation and he did all my will, his will. As a businessman, I want to go before God and he says, you served my will in the church where I placed you. Let's not just run in and out here and forget what this is all about. The church represents God's kingdom. It's the dwelling place of God in the earth. It's where God rules from. It's where the Zion, Lion of the tribe of Judah, roars from in Joel chapter 3. The church. Every believer should be planted in a local church. Every believer should be under some spiritual authority. Hebrews chapter 13, where they submit. Every believer, especially strong men, need a strong priest that can sit them down and speak the word of the Lord to them. Otherwise, your heart will not be secure. We're not just here to tickle one another's back and tickle one another's ears. I'm here to cheer you on and to lead you into the ways of God so that you stand before Jesus one day and you're well done, good and faithful servant. I pray that God blesses this word to your spirit, to your heart, and that if your heart is wandering, that the Holy Spirit will bring your heart back. If you're out for a walk, walk right back. If your heart is departed, then repent today and come home. Get right with God. Don't be a Saul that says, I am serving God, but there's no offerings, there's no tithe, there's no sacrifice, there's no witnessing. It's just all about what God must do for you. This is not, and I'm preaching that very message tonight. This is nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere. Nowhere in the Bible. Is this one stream flow? Nowhere. Not from Genesis to Revelation. Nowhere is it just a relationship where God calls people to sit and he just does everything and they never respond to do something back. You will not find it anywhere in the Bible. We're not talking about salvation now because that's by grace. Just grace. You get saved by grace. Everything is by grace. We understand that. Once you are saved, you're responsible. I'll prove it to you tonight from the Bible. Because there's so much error in the body of Christ. Ah, that's okay. We just want to feel good and not really do good. We want to feel good. Oh, I feel better. I feel better. And? When last did you give an offering, but you feel better? Hello? How's it even possible? I want a church where people are full on for God. Where people understand why they come together. And that their preacher is not there for their entertainment. But the preacher is there for their instruction in the ways of God. So that they can stand before God one day and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Because believe me, my brother, my sister, one day you will stand before Jesus. You will stand before Jesus. The Bible says it's appointed for men once to die and then the judgment. We will all stand before God one day and give account for the lives that he called us to live. All of us. every single one of us. And if you understand that, your church and your spiritual journey becomes the most important part of your life. It doesn't become the, by the way, when I feel like it. It becomes the most important part of your life.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself back to you. Thank you for loving me just as I am. I believe with all my heart you are the Christ. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Today, I give you your rightful place at the center of my heart. I surrender my life to you. Thank you for hearing my prayer, for changing my heart. Today, I'm yours, and I want to serve your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.